I don't know if you can follow along today. It isn't going to get any better either. We're just going to keep plowing through. But a lot of interesting things come up. All right. Lord, we're looking at some strange things today. And we pray that you'll be our teacher and our guide. You would teach us, Lord, what we need to hear. Because we're all needy. It may be one thing, it may be another. It's hard. We pray now that you would help our hearts to be quiet and that we might come before you to hear you. We want you to teach us. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you want to turn to channel. Oh, chapter 4. That's where we're at. Today, we are looking at the Ark. Now, if you saw my favorite movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I don't think I ever get tired of watching it till the end. So you'll know what we're talking about when we're talking about the Ark. This is an interesting section because the next three chapters, we're following the Ark of the Covenant. And it's a covenant of the Lord on a journey into and then back out again of the enemy territory. And you say, well, what is the Ark of the Covenant? Let's just briefly look at this. The top section is the overall view of the tabernacle. But that's the overall view. It's rather large. Now, where are we today? We're down there with the Ark of the Covenant, the most holy place, where the W is for West. And we'll just briefly go through these. The altar of incense is behind that, and then the table of showbread is on one side. We'll get into that with David, as he and his men get very hungry, and it causes 80 priests to be killed. And then the gold candles. You can always tell a Jewish candle by how many candlesticks it has. Then outside is all where people could go. That's the altar of burnt offering. You would offer your offering for your sins of your family or yourself. That would be put on. The burnt offering would be put on that. Then the bronze laver is where the priests would wash their hands. So I don't know if that helps or not, but put that in your folder with your stuff because we'll be looking at it some more. That helps you a little bit to understand what it is the Philistines took. They didn't take the whole shebang. They just took out of the Holy of Holies the Ark. Where was it? It was down in Shiloh. And that's another story, too. Well, God would not defend the Israelites because of their sinfulness. You know, you don't forget last week's lesson on what Eli and those two priests did. They were always not doing it God's way. And they, if they stopped honoring him, then God was not going to honor them or be their strength. That first battle, they lost 4,000 men. Now, let me tell you something about numbers. Numbers are interesting in Hebrew because they don't have any numbers. So it's all done by letters, and that involves interpretation. Don't throw your Bible out because of that, because God is all involved in that. You remember what the two sons of Eli had done and how much trouble they caused. They decided they better bring up the Ark from Shiloh. And it says that a group of them, elders, were going to do that. And then it mentions Hophni and Phineas. And my guess is they were really behind bringing it up. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Now they have power. Good luck charm. Do you know there's so many basketball players and football players that have to wear just the right socks and just the right jewelry? So we can't laugh too hard at them. Those are their good luck charms. Anyway, it was brought up and everybody cheered when they saw the ark. But did you notice how the Philistines really were fearful? Were the Jewish people fearful? No. They weren't fearful at all. They were excited, happy, because God was now in their midst and he would fight for them. But not the Philistines. You know why? Because God had a reputation. They remembered the things that happened when they came out of Egypt. Wow, they got a better memory than all those Israelites. But they encouraged themselves to draw near in battle again, and they got another 30,000 foot soldiers were taken. And probably the only thing that's good about that is Hophni and Phineas, which God had his eye on, were killed. And the ark itself was captured. They figure it's a good luck charm. And military might here was not even thought about, or the fact that they were sinful or anything else was wrong. They just simply felt that once that ark got moved out of their presence. You have to remember that the ark symbolized God's presence, but it didn't guarantee his favor. It's not a good luck charm. Now, this is where my son and I argue all the time, because he thinks the Israelis today have the ark. And I believe they don't. So it always presents a problem. But we have a good time about it. They didn't know what to do with the ark. So what do you do? Well, he's a god. Therefore, we'll put him in with Dagon. And who's Dagon? I've seen one picture of him that somebody put together that was, it was kind of a fish god. But anyway, he's supposed to be the father of Baal, B-A-A-L, and we're going to run into him quite a bit. These guys with their idols. So they take him and they put him into their temple of Dagon, and everything's fine. Next morning, Dagon has fallen over in front of the ark, missing some things. Well, might have been an accident. The bugs might have pushed him over, I don't know. They remember, too, Eli is blind. He's in his 90s, and he's basically blind. And he hasn't seen all the things, bad things his sons have done. Anyway, this runner comes, and he comes into where Eli is and tells him that his sons have died, but that the ark has been taken, and that is such a disaster for him. He, and what's going on in the hospital is Phineas's wife is having a baby. I still want to talk to her when I get to heaven, because she died in childbirth, and the death of her father-in-law and her husband didn't seem to bother her. And I don't blame her for not getting upset about her husband dying, because he was fooling around with the women that came to the temple. I mean, lots going on. The Bible, we think it's so holy, and it is. But God spells it all out for us. It didn't seem to affect her as much as the ark being taken. My guess is she was quite a believer. So, but look at what she named her son, Ichabod. Where you go outside to call him in, Icky, Icky, Icky. But what it meant is the glory of Israel has departed. What a tragedy. Well, the Philistines brought the Ark of God from Ebenezer to Ashdod because they were having problems with it. And it was, they just kept moving it from city to city and things kept happening. And the strangest thing happened yesterday. I turned on the TV. Now, I only watch what I record, and I happen to record a few things out of Monsters Inside of Me. Now, nobody here watches that. But would you believe yesterday it was on, and it showed somebody with the bubonic plague. And I said, this is it. And the interesting thing is I talked to my son last Sunday, and we're just going off about all these things going on here. And he said he thought it was the bubonic plague. Now, he reads it through in Hebrew, so, you know, I can't argue with him. But I thought, well, that's a new concept, bubonic plague. It was an O-O situation. Anyway, this young girl had picked it up from a flea off of a dead squirrel. And they liked to be outside, so they would explore. And she was poking this dead squirrel with a stick and had thrown her sweatshirt down. When she did, this flea off of that squirrel that was carrying the bubonic plague had bit her. So I wasn't listening to it too close. I was hoping to go to sleep. But it went on. This one doctor knew what was going on, that she had the bubonic plague. And today, it's fatal, 2 out of 3. And this girl, they didn't expect her to live. You know, just a flea bite, can you imagine? And the dad, tears running down, said, I kept praying, and I thought, how special that he would find out about God through the bubonic plague. So I'll leave it with you. You can decide. I was hoping it was going to be hemorrhoids. Can't you see them making gold hemorrhoids? Then another entertainment. But how interesting, because we get very clear things like in Job and all. Job has a boil and skin problems, and it's very much spelled out. And if that's the first book in the Bible that people say it is, then why isn't it by here described? Well, in the Old King James, it's called hemorrhoids. And that's a weird name. So it's not. So that made me think it was hemorrhoids. So I can see him taking gold and making them into. No. It was like God put this young lady on TV for me to watch. And since it was recorded, I could watch it again. 7 people in the United States die from bubonic plague every year. So, seven. And you don't think that's much, but remember when it just devastated. Yeah, in the Middle Ages. And they had no idea the darkness they were in. Well, anyway, they took Dagon, fixed him up, and sent the Lord in the box down the street. But I think it's interesting what fell off, because if he were a god, Dagon, then he's lost his brain because his head got off. And he's lost any ability for power because his hands are gone. And I thought, oh, how neat. God is so specific, and you can't tell me he doesn't have a sense of humor. However, if it was the bubonic plague, that's not too good. So anyway, they were suffering, and the people in that town began to suffer. And then in desperation, they took the ark to Gath, and there from Gath to Ekron, and the people were extremely frightened because there was a deadly distraction which killed many. Others broke out in tumors. They begged the ark that the ark be sent on. Let's get rid of the ark. They were really wise people. I don't know if you know it, but when a cow has a calf, they stay with them. They don't go wandering around. So they thought, well, but we've got to put an offering inside, so we'll put rats made out of gold, and not only gold, but also the whatever those tumors were out of gold, and put them in the box. We can't send it back empty. Well, I gotta stay with the cows. But they just don't leave their newborns. They stay with them. They lick them clean. There's a bond there between cows and their calves. And they don't generally pull carts. And the interesting thing here is that these carts had never pulled anything before. Did you happen to notice how they followed the a direct path, neither to the right, neither to the left. They went right back to Israel. Guess who was behind that? So nobody was guiding them. But I thought that was a good scientific thing that they did, because if the ark was to stay with the Philistines, well, then it would stay there. It wouldn't follow this direct path to Israel. But I thought that was pretty scientific. The cows ended up in Beth Shemesh in the territory of Judah. The men of Beth Shemesh were reaping wheat when the ark drew near, and the sight of it, you can imagine. Look at that. The ark is being pulled by two cows. So they're sending the ark back to Israel. People began cheering, great rejoicing for a while. They were using the cart, and this is what I don't like, as a part of the offering, because they took the cows and used them to make a burnt offering. And but that's the way it was done. So the ark and the chest containing the trespass offering of rats, whatever they are, was put on a large stone. But the men of Beth Shemesh did not treat the ark of the Lord as holy. Now, this is the real issue here in this whole thing. I'm astounded at the type of respect they had towards the Ark of the Covenant. Just tremendous. But look at Israel. It's old hat. And I thought, that can become that way with us as we go to church. You know, it can become old hat. And we forget that God is holy. I don't know about you. Do you remember that when you go into church? Some of our denominations are pretty good about that. But some of these non-denominations where you get your coffee and all this stuff and go to church, I don't know. I think we've come a long ways. And so God killed many of them because they had looked into the ark and touched the ark. There's where your problem with numbers comes in with the 70 plus 70,000, I think it is. 50,000. Anyway, a lot of guys died. This is where you have trouble with numbers. And I don't know how many people there were, for sure. And I don't think our scriptures know either. They put down what has been told them. Well, they didn't have that holiness when the ark showed up, so a lot died. And we've had that before. David's going to experience that when he moves the ark. And we'll pick this up again. So I hope you understand what the ark is. It's this gold box. I'm sure it was covered. And inside were the Ten Commandments. Not only the Ten Commandments, but it also is supposed to contain the rod that Moses had used. And what I want to point out is, before we get out of this, is that you didn't touch the ark because Moses had given that direction. And you certainly didn't open it up. What was on top of it was a mercy seat. That mercy seat was telling the people, this is how God is going to deal with you, in mercy. But it was only the high priest that could go in that spot once a year with a blood offering. It was very meticulous how they had to do it. So for these people to treat it as being kind of unholy was a real problem. Anyway, they took it to the house of Abinadab. I think you will find out soon his house is going to thrive, but not until the time of David going into it. And it probably was still covered. I don't know how much more I can tell you on that. It was brought to the house of Abinadab in Kiriath Joram, where it remained for 20 years. And the question is, I don't get it. Why was it in there for 20 years? I don't get it either. My thought is there was no temple, and no one wanted to build a temple until we get to David. I think they just didn't know what to do with it. That seems like a long time, though, 20 years. Well, why didn't Samuel know what to do? Well, Samuel had other problems going on, and you're going to pick that up next week. And I hope you think about it a lot. Don't skip it because it says think about. So the house of Abinadab was blessed for 20 years. But Samuel was really busy. He was urging the people to come to repentance, to confess their sins. And I've just kind of read over that. But my son said on the phone that this is the biggest revival in Israel's history. And then I went back and reread it and thought, yeah, definitely. And that was done by Samuel at Mizpah, where they fasted and repented, and you thought, boy, that's great. before the Lord Jehovah. Their repentance was symbolized by the, this is another weird thing, by pouring out of the water. Can't explain that to you, because almost everything was done with blood. So hearing that the Israelites were at Mizpah and supposing that a revolt was going to take place, the Philistines think they have to attack again. Mistake, because now God is on the Israeli side because they've repented. Besides, God stepped in. He's going to do that a lot in the end times. But here he steps in with a lot of thunder. I've heard some amazing stories about things that have gone on in Israel today where God's defended them. Of course, they don't see it and they don't realize it because the Holy Spirit hasn't opened their eyes to it. It's a temporary victory because the people have repented. I thought to myself, how about us? You know, how can we expect God to answer prayer if we're full of sin? That's what came through my mind when I was studying this. Why should God answer prayer if we're full of sin? I think we kind of hop over sin and just ask God for whatever. Something to think about in connection with this. In any event, after this, Samuel became a circuit judge. Then I thought, well, that'll fit in with next week's lesson about his sons. Why didn't he return to an altar or take the ark to the altar? All of that we don't know about. God allowed even their misdirected thoughts to be that way for 20 years. Now, maybe the 20 is a problem. I don't know. I'll leave that all with you. By the time we get into Samuel, there's an interesting thing that happens with him. And I don't want to give it away, so. But hardly anything was done here by the original design. Know that there were specific rules how to approach the ark, how to approach the tabernacle, and so on. And none of that is being followed. Now, why? I can't give you a clue other than perhaps they're very distant to the law of God. If they don't have a Bible, of course, the United States has lots and lots of Bibles. It's still the most popular book printed. But I have to tell you that the first one printed was 8 cents. Boy, it's about 8 cents a page, I think, today. So none of this was anything except God's, and for some reason it's being ignored. I hope next week's lesson will give you some reasons. Father, we thank you for your preciousness, for your precious word. Thank you for putting it all in there so we have something to chew on, something to think about. And Lord, you're a holy God. You want us to be holy, separate from sin. Help us, Lord, as women of the word, that we might become women of worship, that we might so show our love for you that others will pick that up. Lord, I pray for anyone here today that's got a heavy load. Lord, lift that load for them. Help them to see it in a different light. You take us into situations just like you did here, and you take us out of situations. And I'm grateful for that, that you're in the situation while we struggle. Bless each one, Lord. They need your touch. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.